Father, we come this morning realizing that we have been given much and that in return, much will be required. So we pray this morning, Lord, as we review a little bit of what you have given us and maybe some of the ways that you desire that we use it, that we would begin to look for ways to use to the max this year the things that you have personally deposited into our lives. Thank you for your word, for it is a sword that is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it does discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We give you all praise. We ask now that you use your word in our lives powerfully for your glory. In Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. And if you're one of those who like to follow along, there are a few notes today. I think it was my dad that used to tell a story about a country church, but they had pretty big crowds, and even on the weeknights, usually the church would be full. It was one of those old country churches like I've seen many of, where you walk in the door and there's a center aisle right down to the altar and to the pulpit. And there are benches on either side all the way to the back, with the back pews basically against the front of the building. And so this minister had been there for years, and the crowds would come out and he would preach and give invitations, and many would come and receive Christ as Savior or come to rededicate their lives or whatever. But there was one man who would always arrive right about the time for service to start. He would slip in, sit on the very back pew, take in the service, and then go home. And in all those years, the pastor had never seen him respond to an invitation. But one night, the weather was just absolutely awful. It was absolutely terrible. It wasn't fit for anybody to be out. The pastor was there. Time was getting closer and closer, and no one had showed up. And there at the last minute, this man showed up and slipped into his usual place on that back pew. And the pastor waited a little more until it was starting time, and nobody else was there. But he thought, you know, we're here, so we're going to have church. So he got up and led a couple songs, had scripture, preached, gave an invitation, and the man came forward and received Christ as Savior. And afterwards, as they were talking and the pastor was doing a little counseling, he said, I do have a question, though. He said, all this time you've been coming, you never responded. What did I do different tonight? What did I say? What was it that made you come forward tonight? Oh, he said, it wasn't any of that. He said, it's just that always before, with the church full, I always thought that maybe you were talking to somebody else. But tonight, I knew you were talking to me. I don't know if that really happened, but you get the point of the story. And I just want to tell you, what I'm saying today, I'm saying to you. We've been given much, and that's the title here. But the thing is that whatever the Lord gives, He expects a return on it. And that's only right. The Lord has made an investment in our lives. He's given the most precious thing He had in order to redeem us from our sins. He's given us a new life. And we ought to be as eager as we can be to tell everybody about it. And we ought to be eager to use every single resource, every single talent, every single opportunity, every single thing that the Lord has given us. We should be desiring to use it to the max. So today's message is a reminder. We've had the story of the Good Samaritan. And we've had the story of the lost sheep. So today is kind of a cap of that. But sometimes we're, you know, sitting in the pew and we're like, well, you know, I mean, what can I do? You know, I'm just a lay person, or I'm just this. Well, I just want you to know, like I say, I'm talking to you. And if you're a Christian, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, if there is a time when you have prayed to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, then every single point of this message applies to you, and I'm saying it to you, and the Lord is saying it to you. So let's just review. These are things that every Christian has been given, not just the privileged few. And so let's review some of what the Lord has given us. Let's see, what has the Lord given you as a believer? Number one, you've been given a personal testimony. It is the story of how the Lord saved you. It is the story of how the Lord brought you to faith and brought you to trust Him. It is the story of how He has been working in your life since the time that you became a believer. And this story is real. It really happened. And it is ongoing. And it is worth telling. You may feel that your testimony isn't all that. There is no testimony that isn't important. Because every salvation is a miraculous work of God. How many believe that? Every single one. And your story is unique. Nobody else has exactly the same story that you have. Therefore, you have a testimony. You have something to share. You have something to tell people when they ask you the reason for the hope that is in you. So don't be bashful about it. And know it. And review it. And, you know, think about it. When we did the contagious Christian classes, they would help us put our testimony together, basically just in three parts. Describe your life before you knew Jesus as Savior in just a few words or sentences. Then describe what it was, what realization it was that brought you to the point of you seeing your need, and describe the place or the day or the circumstance when you came to know Jesus as Savior. And then thirdly, describe briefly what changes came about or have come about in your life because of Jesus being your Savior and Lord. So if you just think about it a little bit that way, it'll help you to organize your thoughts, even if you write it out at first. But to be able, every single one of us should be able to give the reason for the hope that is in us, and should be able to give not some long lesson. They don't want to know all the details, okay? They don't want to know all. In 3 minutes or less, you should be able to tell your basic testimony and what the Lord, how you came to know the Lord and what He has done in your life. But the point is, you need to be able to share it. And if you don't, then practice it. Practice it and get where you can share it. Because the Lord has given you a testimony, and He didn't give it to you just so you could just keep it to yourself. How many have heard the story of the Gadarene that was full of so many demons they had never been able to tie him down? And when Jesus got out of the boat, he comes and kneels before Jesus. Jesus casts out a whole legion of demons from this man. And they all go into the pigs, and the pigs go mad and run off of the cliff and drown in the sea. But the man sitting there, clothed and sane and in his right mind. And when Jesus leaves, he says, "Oh, Jesus, let me go with you. I want to be your follower. I want to be." He said, "No, you go back and tell everybody back home what the Lord's done for you." And he did. And it said, and people marveled. And he evangelized the whole Decapolis, which is the 10-city area on the east side of the Jordan River, which was an area where Jesus rarely went. Yes? The Lord has given you a testimony. Number two, you may not know it, but He has already given you a personal evangelism style. And when I think I spoke on this one time, and of course that's part of the Contagious Christian course. And if you want to see this, just go on the web page here after Tuesday, probably, when Bill gets back. He'll post it. Bill Malone's in Iowa. But I'll have that on there. It's not on your notes today, but you can pull it up at sncc.net and see it. But everybody already basically has, just by the way the Lord made you and your personality, most of us gravitate to one or two ways of evangelizing or sharing the gospel. I'll just go through them real quick. The first style is confrontational. And Peter, for example, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came on him and the crowd gathered, He was very confrontational, and he said, you crucified Jesus. You hung him on the cross. But God has raised him from the dead and made him Lord. And this that he has poured out, this is from him. And he's now offering salvation and forgiveness of sins to everyone. And that day 3,000 were saved and baptized, and the church was begun. That's a confrontational head-on style. It's the person who says, if you died right now, where would you go? Not all of us are that way, but some are. And it's a legitimate way. How many believe maybe John the Baptist might have been a little confrontational in his evangelistic style? The second style is the intellectual style. This is the person that will use apologetics and reasonings and so forth to show you from the Scripture why we're sinners and why you need to be saved. And it's kind of a person like this is usually a little inquisitive or analytical or logical. And Paul, when he speaks on Mars Hill, he uses that style. And he starts with this image to the unknown God. And he says, I'm going to tell you about the God you are unknowingly worshiping. And then he goes into a logical explanation of how God made everything, but how man is sinful and needs to come to Christ. But somebody like that, likes kind of the philosophical debate type thing, but they will present the gospel that way. Then there is the testimonial style, and that's just simply, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. And the thing that he's done for me, he also wants to do for you. And the blind man in chapter 9 of John, he was just saying to people, hey, look, I was blind, but now I can see. And Jesus did it. And then there's the interpersonal style. These people are usually of a warm personality, conversational and friendship oriented. Interpersonal. They're the ones that like to get people together. And that's what Matthew did after the Lord called him to be his disciple. That night he threw a party at his house with all of his old work buddies and other tax collectors because he wanted them to meet Jesus. So everybody was there and they were mingling and talking and everything. So the interpersonal evangelist is the person who has a barbecue and invites the neighbors over and they have a birthday or whatever and they bring a bunch of people over so they can meet their Christian friends. And they are people who get people mixing and knowing each other. Then there are people who have the invitational style. They just simply invite people and say, hey, come on out and hear this preacher. Hey, let's go over to the Hamden Coliseum and hear this musical group that's coming into town, this Christian musical group. Hey, why don't you just come to this little Bible study and try it out? That's one of the easiest ones, isn't it? Now, none of us do only one of these. I don't want to leave you with that impression. We gravitate to one or two of them. But any of us can use any of these on any given day. And then the last one, of which I think we have a good number in this church, is the serving style. And these are just people that serve and roll up their sleeves and they take the person something when somebody's sick or there's been a death in the family and they're over there with the food or they're helping to clean or they're, you know, doing these types of things. And that's how Dorcas in the book of Acts, in fact, she was raised from the dead, but she was always sewing clothes and helping the orphans and the poor people and all of this. And her testimony was pretty much how she served people. And this particular one will open doors where you might not be able to get in any other way. They might turn you away, but through serving, we're able to get that opening and lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, the point is, whichever one it is, it might take you a little while to figure it out, but the Lord's already given you an evangelistic style to use for him. And then number three, we all have one of these. The Lord has given you an area of influence. We all know different people. You know people I don't know. I know people you don't know. You're related by blood to certain people. Sometimes you might wish you weren't, but you are. And they're part of your area of influence. You may work with a bunch of people. And again, you sometimes you may wish you didn't, but you do. But that is your area of influence. And every single one of us, our friends and relatives and people we know and work associates and people we went to school with. For some of you, that was a while back. But through Facebook, you might be able to find them again. Or they might find you. But the point is, the Lord's given us all an area of influence. Where does He want us to use our witness and our testimony? In our area of influence, of course. He doesn't expect you to go outside of that. That's where He's put you for a reason. And we've each been given, if you take the first three together, we have each been given an unparalleled opportunity. The Lord has allowed us to come to know Him. And I tell you what, just to be able to share the Word of the Lord with somebody or invite somebody and then see them come and then see them come to a saving knowledge of the Lord. That's happened over and over and over in this church. But how many know that it's still got to keep happening? Because if it doesn't, we're going to fade away over time. This is a never-ending process. The children coming into Awana and so forth. Never-ending process. Evangelizing among your friends, neighbors, loved ones. You have no other opportunity like it anywhere else. Even if you had the opportunity to advance to the very top of the company where you work, that would pale in comparison to the opportunity the Lord has given you with your testimony, with your evangelism style, and with your area of influence to use it for Him and influence some people for the Lord and to have their lives changed for all eternity. Yes, that's what you've been given. Now, scripturally, from a slightly different focus point, here are some other things that you and I have been given, and we already know these, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. Number one, you've been given a clear mandate. Before Jesus went to heaven, He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So we all have been given a clear mandate to tell the good news. Number two, you've been given basic empowerment. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my what? What's that other word? Witnesses in Jerusalem, your hometown, Judea, the surrounding area, Samaria, the neighboring province or county, and to the ends of the earth. You've been given already. If you're a believer, you've been given basic empowerment. And that's why the Lord gave it to you. Because sharing the Lord, in one way, it's real easy. But in another way, it's kind of hard because the fear factor enters in there. But the Lord will help you to get over that and to find those opportunities and actively seek people out to share the Lord with them. Thirdly, and of course, very importantly, the Lord has given you a guidebook. You want to know? I mean, John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And then in the book of Romans, there are a number of very important verses that are so useful when you're talking to somebody about the Lord. So He's given you the guidebook. So if you need help getting some basic knowledge of some of these scriptures, salvation scriptures or something, get with me, get with Bennett, get with anybody in Awana, get with any of us, and we'll help you with that. But you've got your guidebook. And if we're in the Scripture, we know something of the Scripture, we've got what we need to do what the Lord has asked us to do. And then we've each been given a specific promise, and it is the promise in Matthew 28:20. And this promise was given in the context of taking the gospel, because He says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to live, observe, follow all the things that I've told you, and look, You could almost, that's a Hebrew form of expression. It's almost the equivalent to surely. You can be absolutely sure. And look, I am present, continual, eternal tense. I am with you, literally in the Greek, pantas tas hemeras, all the days, every single day, until the end of the age. So the Lord has promised to be with you. He's given you His promise to be with you. So the closing question is, we've been given much. Every one of us have been given these things. So the question now is, how will you, how will I use what the Lord has entrusted to you? How will I use what the Lord has entrusted to me in 2010? You've been given plenty in order to go out and do the work that the Lord has called you to do. Some of that indeed may be part of Awana. It may be part of Sunday school, a Bible club, the soup kitchen, youth ministry, or some other area of ministry here. But don't think of ministry in those boxes. The things that we're talking about today are the things the Lord wants you to use for Him when you're out there during the week. Because you have these things all the time, 24/7, in all of the places where the Lord has placed you. So our question today is, Lord, how can I max the things that You've already put in me for Your glory this year so that men and women and boys and girls can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, to a permanent relationship with You, and to Christian growth and discipleship? Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for what You have deposited in us, and it is something far beyond anything that man knows about. It is far beyond anything that money can buy. And it is everything that is necessary to be a light and to be an effective witness for You. You have put these things in every single one of us. And so every single one of us here today, we have friends, we have acquaintances, we have neighbors, we have work associates, we have blood relatives. We have people that form an area of influence that You have called us to and that You have placed us in. And so, Lord, I pray that this year You will also cause us to see the other things You have deposited in us, such as a testimony and an evangelism style and some knowledge of Your Word, and that we would be able to take these things then and use them just like a craftsman would use his drill or his hammer or his saw or whatever to do something useful, that we could take these things You've given us and use them effectively for You this year, both within and without the church setting. Work in us powerfully this year, Lord. Use us for Your glory. And help every one of us but to be desirous to make the very best use of what You have already deposited in us. We ask these things humbly in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. Do you know Jesus as Savior? Have you received Him as Savior and Lord? If not, any Sunday morning is a wonderful opportunity to do that. So if that's your situation today, would you come forward? I'll be right down front here, and we'll pray together, and you'll receive a new life from the Lord. If you have any other thing on your heart, feel free to come and share it during this closing hymn.